ironic that as we sang that song, He Leadeth Me, we weren't following the lead of the one who was leading the music. And I think it well illustrates, you know, what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I chose that song because we're going to be looking at Psalm 23, verse 2, where the Bible says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters. And yet we don't follow Him. And we wonder why we're in trouble. We wonder why we're under so much stress. It's because we're not following Him to the still waters. So I hope that that'll be a good illustration that you won't forget today. Before I begin my message today, I do want to recognize those who have served our country. If you've got your bulletin, Mrs. Hale put this little thing in there in the second page that says, take a moment to thank a veteran. Let me just read that. When you see someone in a uniform, someone who serves us all, doing military duty, answering their country's call, take a moment to thank them for protecting what you hold dear. Tell them you are proud of them. Make it very clear. Just tap them on the shoulder, give a smile, and say, thanks for what you're doing to keep us safe in the USA. I appreciate that. But very often, you know, what you're going to find is that veterans are no longer in uniform. And there are some here today. And so if you have served our country in the military, could we recognize you, please? Would you please stand at this time? Don't be ashamed. You never were to serve. Don't be ashamed to stand today. Before you're seated, could I ask you what branch and the years, if you can remember those years that you served, Alan? Thank you very much for your service. Brother Marvin.
Yes, Air Force, 52 to 56.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Brother Ken.
I was in the Army and served for several years.
Quite a while. Quite a while. Thank you for your service. Thank you. You gentlemen may be seated. Thank you for your service to our country. I always try when I see a veteran, and a lot of them may wear a ball cap, and I'm especially alert to World War II veterans, but now more, now Vietnam veterans as well, because those are the ones who are becoming fewer and fewer. But I always like to stop the World War II veterans. I think I told you I was in Subway a number of months ago, and there was a man there that had a World War II cap on. And I got to talking with him, and wow, he invited me to sit with him after I tapped him on the shoulders like this said, and I said, thank you for your service, sir. He said, come join me. And I just had a real good conversation with the man. And I like to talk to veterans, because those are the ones who have served our country and have made our country what it is today, humanly speaking. God is the one who's made our country what it is. But I thank these men and women who have served our country in our armed forces. So thank you very much for your service, gentlemen. Let's take our attention and take it to Psalm chapter 23. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's read on. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The theme of this 23rd Psalm is safe and secure. Last week we looked at the theme of verse 1, and that is this, that I am safe and secure when I recognize myself as helpless, and God is my shepherd. You see, man is a helpless creature. As a man, by nature, I am dependent. God is independent. His name Jehovah means self-sufficient. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. But I need Him.
Amen.
And that's why I say the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not be deprived. I shall not be lacking. So man is not only helpless, verse 1, but verse 2 also makes clear that man is homeless. Have you ever met a homeless individual, a true homeless individual? I'm not talking about somebody who is homeless because of his own foolishness. The majority today of homeless individuals may be there because of their own foolishness. Their lack of the willingness to work. But there are truly homeless people. People who are there because of circumstances that are beyond their control. I've read where people, various individuals, have spent a day with a homeless person to see what it's like, and then they report it. And they have a new understanding, a new appreciation of somebody who has no home. Imagine no home, no family, no rest, no shelter, no love. We think about that physically, but also think about that spiritually, folks. Think about the person who has no spiritual home. I'm not talking about a church building. I'm talking about somebody whose heart has no home. Their heart is not at rest. They do not know the love of God. They do not know belonging to a family. A person's homeless. Spiritually homeless. You see, man without Jesus Christ is a homeless creature. And it can even come to the place where a Christian who does not submit to his shepherd becomes homeless. Not unsaved, but not at rest. Man without Christ is a homeless creature. And even a Christian, there may be a Christian here today who feels homeless. Someone who is tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's that state of homelessness that is overcome when you submit to two things. And these are the two points this morning. Isn't this great? You've got two phrases in this verse. It gives me 2 points. Here's my first point. We are homeless when we are overcome and don't submit to, number one, the shepherd's influence. Number two, the shepherd's leading. Very simple, isn't it? Let's look at the shepherd's influence in the first part of that verse. It says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. 2 things about this. Number one, the purpose of His influence. He maketh me to lie down. There are 2 things at least that prevent sheep from lying down. You know what those 2 things are? Fear and hunger. Sheep will not lie down if they are living in fear. If you've been around sheep much, you'll understand that a rabbit jumping up startles the sheep. And then what happens to the rest of them when that one sheep is startled? All of a sudden, you've got a whole flock of them running in fear, not even knowing why they're running, except that the other sheep ran. Isn't it interesting how sheep influence sheep? Some sheep leave a church and a whole bunch of the other flocks follow them. They do out of fear because they're really not following the shepherd. I've told you about our 2 dogs. I never told you the dogs' names. The one dog's name was Tubby and the other one was Susie. When we bought our sheep, my dad bought 3, I bought 3, and that first night they were out there in the corral. Our dog got out there and killed them, killed 3 of those sheep. And we had to put our dogs down the next day. But they were startled. I remember going out that night when my dad heard the barking and he got me up and my brothers. We went out there and the sheep were terribly frightened. They were jittery. They had just experienced these wild dogs in their thinking, killing. And they were so frightened that we couldn't even get them calmed down. You see, when sheep are in fear, they will not lie down. But the shepherd, my shepherd, he maketh me to lie down. How can he do that? Well, there can be no fear. There can be no fear. It's like the child requesting or requiring the presence of one of his parents when a child is fearful. What makes a child go to sleep when he's afraid at night because the closet door is open and there's a boogeyman in there? What is it that makes the child soothing? It's when the parent comes in there and sits there and lulls the child to sleep, because all of a sudden just the presence of mom or dad in there takes care of the matter. We read in the Bible that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Note what it says in verse 4 of Psalm 23. The last part, "For thou art with me." Folks, that's all I need to know, is that God is with me. If I know that, if you can honestly say, you know what, God is with my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd and he is with me. Do you have that assurance where you can say, he is with me, I know it? Then you know what? You can lie down. You can experience the purpose of his influence and you can lie down. The shepherd David said in Psalm 4:8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." You're hearing Psalms. Go to Isaiah chapter 43 with me, please. If you don't have a Bible, please listen closely. Isaiah chapter 43. Here we read in verse 1 that the Lord, "Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." So here's the call to the fact that we don't need to fear. And then here's the assurance given in verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." I have no fear when he is with me. Whether I'm walking through the floodwaters, whether I'm going through the flames, God is with me like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the furnace of fire. No fear, because God was with them. Do you have that assurance? How do we get freedom from fear? His presence. God is with me. What was said of Joseph there in Genesis chapter 37 when he was taken captive and he was sold into slavery into Egypt? Here he is, this young man, 17 years old, all by himself. At least two or three times it says in that chapter, the Lord was with him. And that's why Joseph was able to endure what he endured, even as a young man. Even as a teenager. But you know something? You can have a false sense of security. You can think that you're secure when the presence of the shepherd is not even there. Some people get a false sense of security in the absence of authority. Let me illustrate it. Judges chapter 18. In Judges chapter 18, it says this about the people of a city called Laish. Judges 18, verse 7. "They came to a people who dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land, they that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man." But I want you to notice, it says they dwelt careless, but they were quiet and secure. It is possible for you to think that you are living in a quiet and a secure way without having God as your shepherd. But I want you to know what takes place. I want you to know what happens when somebody thinks that they are quiet and secure. If you're there in Judges 18 with me, jump to the last part of the chapter. Look at the last part of verse 27. "They came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. And there was no, there's no deliverer. They had no deliverer. You can have a false sense of security. My job makes me secure. The money I have makes me secure. My family makes me secure. No, security only comes when the Lord is my shepherd. You are dwelling carelessly without the shepherd. And your security that you may be experiencing right now because you have all the money you need, you got the health care you need, you've got your home, you've got everything else, that is a false sense of security if it's without the Lord. How do we get freedom from fear, folks? The presence of my shepherd. When sin is present, I don't sense his presence. And we become restless. We make mistakes. We do foolish things. Listen to this promise of the good shepherd in Matthew 18:20. He says this, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." He's here with us today. I can't see him, but I take it by faith because he made that promise there in Matthew 18. There am I in the midst of them. I can rest. He maketh me to lie down. There's freedom from fear when he's with me. Secondly, there's freedom from hunger. When sheep are free from hunger, they will lie down. In a place of plenty of food, that's where this can happen. Sheep are ruminant animals. What does that mean? Same as deer, same as elk, same as cattle. It means that the sheep has a rumen as part of the stomach, which can take the food that has been eaten, swallowed, and this is the lovely part, and bring it right back up to the mouth, and the sheep can ruminate. The elk, the deer, can ruminate. We call it chewing the cud. That's what sheep do when they lie down. It chews cud, it ruminates. A Christian who is influenced by the shepherd will be well fed. He will be made to lie down in green pastures where he can ruminate on the Word of God. He can meditate. He will lie down in the pasture. He won't pass through the pasture. There's plenty to feed upon in the pasture where God has him. Christian, let me ask you something. Do you find the Scriptures to be a lush pasture? Or something that you pass by or pass through to feed upon to get to your how-to books? To get to, you know, the gab sessions? So many sheep allow themselves to be influenced to lie down where they cannot be fed. But he maketh me to lie down. And now here's the place of his influence. In green pastures. Note, first of all, it is a pasture. God told Israel that they would be going to a land that flows with milk and honey. That's a good pasture. That is what he promised them. Out of the barren land of Egypt and into the flourishing promised land, a green pasture. God also has the perfect pasture for you. But a perfect pasture with him is totally separate from the barrenness of sin. Because anytime there is sin, you're going to have a place that's called Sodom and Gomorrah that has been destroyed. A perfectly beautiful place. But when the sin of man comes in, it is literally destroyed and made barren. And yet some people try to feed in a place like that. Please take note, God does not influence you to a place where you cannot be fed. Do you get that? God does not take you to a place where you cannot be fed. If you end up in a place where you cannot be fed, it's because you are not following him. No, he maketh you to lie down in green pastures. You allow other influences to take you to a place like that. Carnality, perhaps excitement, But God does not make you to lie down in dry, barren fields. No, He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. So it is a pasture, but I want you to note, secondly, it's a green pasture. Did you know that green is the most restful of all colors? Did you know that if you need rest for your eyes, you know what color is best for you to look at? It's green. I got involved in a lot of plays when I was in college. And there's this room that's off to the side. And inside that room, you know what color the walls are painted? They're green. In fact, they call it the green room. Today, when you go to a play, the actors will talk about the green room. What is the green room? The green room is where the actors go before they come out on the stage. Why is the room painted green? I'll tell you why. If you've ever been involved in a play, if you've ever gone on the stage, you've been the only one there and everybody's looking at you, what does that make you? Nervous to the nth degree. I still have dreams. That hasn't been recent, but I still have dreams of going out on the stage in the plays that I was in and forgetting my lines. I actually remember going out on stage. It was a play that a lady was directing. She wanted me to be the head Chinaman. You know, 6'4" China guy. And so here I am. I'm the Mandarin. And it was about the missionary Gladys Allward. Anybody ever heard of Gladys Allward? And she was ministering there in China. And so I was this China guy, and this Chinese man, I should say. And the other guy came out with me, the other Chinaman, and we were going back and forth with our lines on stage, and he forgot his lines. Now, it's bad enough when you forget your lines, but it's almost like, now I've got to help this guy. He forgot his lines. And here we are, 2,700 people seated out here in Rhoda Haver Auditorium. And I'm looking at this guy like, get your line. And he can't remember it. So I had to fill in for him, and we got it. He picked up. We continued on. But I tell you, when you go off, you go to the green room, when you look at those green walls, and it relaxes you. What kind of a pasture does it make us lie down in? Brown pastures? Red? You know what the red word, what the color red does to you? It excites you. You know what brown does? Makes you nervous. You know what green does? Calms you. He maketh me, folks, to lie down in green pastures. But this green implies sunshine. But it also implies rain. It's interesting how the grass always looks on the other side, isn't it? But it ends up being sparse and deserty. You know what? There's contentment where the shepherd leads us. It's when we go our own way that we create our own problems. We create our own environment that cannot be described as green. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's the shepherd's influence. Then we see the shepherd's leading. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Those who feed upon God's goodness, if you're going to experience the goodness of God, you have to follow His leading. If you are going to be led, you must follow. Somebody in talking about leadership has said, if you are going to be a leader, you must first be a good, you have to be a good follower. Not only hearing God's word, but heeding God's word. That's following. That's allowing Him to lead me. Why is it, folks, that people want sound preaching of God's word, but when it comes to making application, they don't like it? That's the leading. That's where the preacher says, now folks, here's what the Bible says, but now here's how you apply it to your life. And they say, well, I want to hear what the Bible says, but don't apply it to me because that means I've got to change. No, that's the heeding part of it. That's the part where He leadeth me and I have to follow Him. We see the purpose of His leading. The shepherd leads or guides. It has the idea of tenderness. The fact that He leads me means that I would not naturally go there myself. I need Him to lead me. And remember, I'm a helpless creature. Remember that sheep are either stupid or smart. What is it? They're stupid. They need to be led. I'm a sheep too. All of us are sheep. And that's why it is the Lord who is my shepherd. And that's the only thing that makes me look smart is when He is my shepherd. That's where I get wisdom, when I follow Him. And He doesn't drive us. He leads us. You know what I know, that you cannot drive sheep. You cannot get behind them and push them because they'll go all different directions. But a shepherd whose voice is heard by the sheep can go in front of them and the sheep follow. And that's what He does with us. To go where He is going, though, we must follow. And He wants us folks to come willingly, not by force. All I have to do is follow. You ever remember that song, that gospel song? All I have to do is follow. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is? Folks, if He's going to lead you, you've got to follow. So there's the purpose of His leading. But now, what's the place of His leading? Where does He take you? Beside the... Why is the word still there? Why does it say the still waters? Well, first of all, waters is the second of two things a creature needs to live. Got to have food. Got to have water. But it's called still waters. You will find that when you watch a flock of sheep, they do not go and drink out of a raging river. They won't do it. Unless that is all there is, and they are dying of thirst. They will not go to a raging river, but they have no problem going to a little babbling brook where the water, compared to the raging river, is still, because it implies a place of rest. Anybody ever been to the Niagara Falls? Okay, the Pierces have been there. Anybody else? Christy? Brother Allen? Okay, Marianne? When I was at the Niagara Falls years ago, you know what I found out after a while? It was tense. It was the noise. It was the constant noise. It was the raging falls, because it's a beautiful sight. But it came to the place where, you know, I wanted to get away from there. I enjoyed it. But all that falling water, just a constant, constant raging water, began to act upon me. I became weary of the rushing and of the thundering water. And you know what else? I was totally distracted from what was happening around me in certain cases because of all the noise. It would be very hard to sleep there. But you know where I like to camp out? In the mountains. I like to find a little babbling brook. We found one this last summer up there north of Vail. Set up our tent right beside this little stream. Some people, even today, will get those little machines and they'll listen to water flowing. Why is that? Because there's that rest. Folks, He leadeth me to what kind of waters? To the still waters. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. He works in our hearts when we listen to His quiet, still, small voice. As we read of Elijah in 1 Kings 19:12, the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. What creature in the Bible is used to depict the Holy Spirit? It's a dove. It's not an eagle. It's not a turkey. It's a dove. The way some people act, you would think it was a crow. No, it's a dove. Quiet. It's easy to be distracted with the noise and the excitement of today's religion. But you lose the awareness of the danger of the false doctrine that's involved. Folks, we are foolish when we follow our own hearts and allow ourselves to be led beside noisy rapids, dangerous water, where we become restless, nervous, and oblivious to the approach of damnable doctrine. He leads me beside the still waters. Be still and know that I am God. It says in Psalm 46:10. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. But maybe you can't verify that. If you can't, you're helpless, you're homeless this morning. If you can verify verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, then verse 2 will also be a part of your life where it says, He maketh me to lie down on green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That will describe you as a believer on a typical day. As I close this morning, let me ask you, is your typical day a day of restlessness? If you're following the shepherd, he will lead you to where you can be fed and content with the green pastures. That kind of a day starts with meditating on his word and ruminating. And you will follow his leading beside the still waters. Would you bow your heads as we consider what we have seen here in God's word this morning? First of all, can you honestly say, the Lord is my shepherd? I know He is my shepherd. I follow Him. Have you been following Him? There are folks today, perhaps some in here, who are following their own emotions. They're following their own flesh. They're doing what they want to do. But a true Christian can say, no, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you honestly say that He is your shepherd? Would you be willing again this week to testify to that by raising your hand and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I know Him as my Savior. I know that without any doubt. Without anybody else looking, would you simply put your hand up? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, you may put your hands down. Perhaps you couldn't raise your hand.